All right. Welcome, welcome, welcome. Welcome to the Do-It-Yourself Show, where we sit back and critique movies. We talk about how maybe they should have been done. Now, myself, my name is Vega Bomber, and I'm here with my trusty sidekick,
Juice.
That's right. The juice is here. The juice is loose. So you know what this is about, right? So there was a movie that you wanted to see probably last year, this year, maybe this summer, maybe last week. And you were excited because the commercials were awesome and the trailers were good. And then you saw the movie and you were like, what? And you started scratching your head and you couldn't believe that this person didn't die and that person did die. And then you didn't understand the motivation of this person or that person. It just seemed weird.
And that's what we're here for.
That's what we're here for. That's exactly it. So we take our pens, we sharpen up those pencils and grab pens if we don't have pencils. And we start marking it up and figuring out what would we have done differently. So the movie that we're going to talk about today, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, cats and dogs, is the movie Batman v. Superman.
Yes.
V. That's right. V. Superman. We have to make it all legal and stuff, right? Like it's a legal document. So as you remember, everybody was excited to try to see this film. It was going to be the first time to see Batman and Superman together on the big screen. And then, surprise, we're going to throw in Wonder Woman as well. And so what could go wrong, right?
Right? CGI.
CGI. So let's do this, Juice. Let's do this first. First, let's talk about what we liked about the film first, then we'll talk about the cons, and then we'll talk about how we would have reimagined the things that we found to be the cons. So positive things first.
Right, positive things first. I think in the beginning I liked how it started with Bruce Wayne's point of view, mm-hmm. seeing the destruction of the buildings. Mm-hmm. And that gave the character, I think the only character, really motivation for the whole film.
Yes.
And the first 10, 15 minutes were great. Maybe even 30 minutes, but then it started dragging after that.
Mm-hmm.
How about you?
Yeah, I felt the same way. My favorite part of the movie was Batman also. I thought the way them showing it from his point of view, and then, of course, there was the whole Ben Affleck thing where we thought, really, could he really be a good Batman?
Deadpool, but, I mean, Daredevil, he did Daredevil, and that didn't do so well. So
Yeah.
He had a second chance, right?
Yeah, he had a second chance. And, you know, I thought Ben Affleck did a great job. The problems with this movie, I would say, had nothing to do with Ben Affleck at all.
Right.
In fact, I'd even say Gal Gadot as Wonder Woman wasn't a problem either.
Right.
You know, and I wasn't sure about her as the casting either. And still, the jury's still out because, I mean, it wasn't like she had a whole lot to do in the film, but she was there. But I would say my positives then is definitely Bruce Wayne. I thought it was very risky for them to show a Bruce Wayne that was killing after seeing the Christopher Nolan verse Batman who doesn't kill.
Right.
But it didn't turn me away because this makes sense that older Batman would do it, don't you think?
Right. Yeah, you're right. Like you say, especially Bruce Wayne also, him as Bruce Wayne, not just Batman, mm-hmm. it showed behind the scenes of, you know, like I said, motivation to the character and why he's, you know, seeing the world that he does. Mm-hmm. And, you know, speaking of that, you know, there are points that Superman, where he's going off and saving mm-hmm. The world. That could have been fleshed out a little bit more in terms of giving him motivation. Mm-hmm. And I think it tried to give him motivation and try to give hope mm-hmm. to that.
Yeah.
But overall, the tone wasn't there for the Superman side.
Right, right. And in fact, that's a great segue. That's all there is, folks, in terms of pros on this film as far as I'm concerned. And at this point, Juice, so we're going to get into the cons because that's a good segue. So cons-wise, what were the things that kind of stood out to you that you just thought, man, that did not land, that did not hit well, and maybe even took you out of the movie for a minute or two?
Well, when you first, first couple of times you saw, you know, Lex Luthor and the little wacky,
Riddler Joker?
Performance. That's one thing. I guess he saw Riddler slash Joker and he said, I can do that and I'll make him into Superman's version of the Riddler or Joker. Mm-hmm. You know, mm-hmm. that wacky, crazy, Jolly Rancher taste in your mouth. That's not really good.
Yeah, what about that for product placement?
Yeah, right?
Jolly Ranchers. Lex Luthor might just put it in your mouth.
Yeah. So that was a big thing about, I guess the casting on him. I don't know what the director saw mm-hmm. other than he was trying to make a different Lex Luthor, but I think they failed in this version.
So. Yeah, no, I would totally agree. Jesse Eisenberg, I mean, I get it. He's usually in films. He's kind of snarky. He's definitely plays a smart guy a lot of times in the films. His quips and comebacks are good. But Lex Luthor, though, I thought that if you'd had Bryan Cranston in here after seeing him play Walter White in
right.
Breaking Bad, right. I mean, just think about the people that would extra people that also would have filled in to the movie theater
yeah.
just to see that.
You
and
got
he
a point.
Played that.
You got a point, especially I think an older Lex Luthor would be better for Superman, Lois and Clark.
Yeah.
Because you can see that. You know, he had time to establish himself as a billionaire right. and as a you know, a sort of hero in the world of the Metropolis and mm-hmm. and go from there. And this one, him being young, just didn't work. Lex Luthor. So.
Yeah, no, it didn't because I mean, I'm not really interested in seeing what happens to him to see if he becomes a better villain in the next one or whatever. I know they had finally shaved his head at the end of the movie, but it, I don't know. Maybe if I have to say, spoiler alert, so hopefully you've seen Batman v Superman. If not, what are you doing? Go watch the movie and then come back.
Time.
Put this on pause, go watch the movie, come back and then unpause it. But yeah, that's definitely a critical problem. As you know, I'm a huge villain person, and when the villains are weak, then that makes the hero weak. There's really no threat. I know watching Jesse Eisenberg, at some points it would make sense for him to kind of do some of the stuff, but at the end of the day, I didn't really fear him. I just wanted to bitch slap him. I just couldn't stand him, you know?
Yeah.
And it wasn't the way he should have been. Like, to me, a good Lex Luthor is afraid of Superman, but he's this cunning, smart, kind of charismatic real estate tycoon. And I know some people could say, oh, but we've seen that a million times. Well, we've seen Batman's origin story a million times. That didn't stop them. So
speaking of that, that's another a con, right, against the origin story. We already know. Why show it again?
Absolutely.
Take that out.
Absolutely.
Cut it out.
Yeah.
Scalpel.
That's exactly right. So I will say that's a con. There's a fix for that, and we'll talk about that when we get to the fix stage, but we're still talking cons. So I'd say that. I would say that the conclusion was lame for me as well. I felt like they were trying to smuggle in too many comic book themes. And it's like, no, Batman v Superman, if you're taking that from Frank Miller, just stick with that basic theme. But then it seemed like they tried to smuggle in Flashpoint.
Paradox with Flash,
with that
Flash
thing with him.
And then I think the average viewer wouldn't know that either, so you would have to explain that to a person. So
and the parademons, I don't think people would really
get it. Parademons either, yeah.
Yeah, so it was just, and then just kind of the story and the plot line was a con to me. So it's like, okay, so your goal is to get Batman and Superman to fight, although Batman doesn't need motivation to fight Superman. He already wants to kick his butt.
That doesn't make sense, too, because when he's motivated to do that, and then at the same time, he's creating a Frankenstein monster with a lame villain, I think, at least for this movie.
Yes.
Doomsday, you know.
Yes.
You know, so, I mean, you can see that it's more alien technology that is given to Lex, I guess, that gives him the ideas to create Doomsday.
Mm-hmm.
But at least in this movie, it's, you know, pieces are missing in terms of the logic.
Yeah.
You know, you have to actually show the logical steps of him creating Doomsday.
Right.
Instead of using, you can see that it is alien technology, but I don't think they fleshed it out that well for this movie. And probably that's another thing. Maybe the editing.
Yes.
It was very weak on that point.
It was, because there were certain parts that was kind of hard to follow. You didn't know which were dreams, which were premonitions, and which were just maybe flashbacks at some points.
Right.
I mean,
bad
editing. Yeah, bad editing. Look at me trying to give him a break. But yeah, it was just, bad editing. And then I guess, you know, when I say plot storyline, I mean, again, the character motivations are very important. And I thought, in terms of Batman, I knew why Batman wanted to beat up Superman. I mean, I got it. It made sense. It was clear. But then Superman's motivations to fight Batman, it seems like you would think would happen, it'd be an ideology clash. You know, Batman's, by any means necessary, kind of Malcolm X about it. And then Superman would be very much like Martin Luther King Jr. about it. No, they're criminals. We're still going to use nonviolence and try to bring these people in, whatever.
For justice.
Kind of like the Magneto versus Professor X
thing.
Right?
Yes.
It should almost kind of have a feel like that. But instead, you decide that, okay, this younger baby Lex has a God complex. He hates superpowered beings, yet he goes and creates one
in
Doomsday.
Yeah, right. That's a good
as
point.
If he could control Doomsday.
Yeah.
Like, why would you create another thing that you can't control while you're trying to control? But the motivation for Superman to fight Batman, the whole Martha thing.
Yeah, that was just lame, I think.
Yeah.
Try to be smart on that and try to find, I guess, a somewhat of motivation to stop the fights. And another thing is that several times I've thought about Superman is that, I mean, he's pretty fast.
Yeah.
You would think he would pinpoint anybody's heartbeat and and actually go there and save any person.
Yes.
You know, especially your mother's heartbeat.
Right.
Yeah. So
absolutely.
30-odd years of knowing that heartbeat. Not more, 35.
Yeah, he has super hearing. Yeah. He would be able to hear it. He would know. And by the way, his mom would also know that he has super hearing. So when the bad guys capture her, all she has to do is just go, Clark, Clark,
right.
Clark.
Yes.
It's your mother. Help, help. We're at whatever, blah, 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 blah.
It was just a dumbed down script, especially several aspects of it. To try to be smart, try to be, you know, good twists and turns. And especially with the, it is kind of, you know, little bit smart using the Martha thing because he made the connection with Martha, same name, which it is the same name, which I never thought about that. And he thought it was clever, the screenwriter, but not clever enough, I thought.
Yeah, because it seems weird because for that Martha thing to work, why wouldn't just, I mean, because think about it, if Batman stops killing him because of the humanity, of the fact that, hey, this is an alien before, but he has a mom, and his mom's name is Martha. Well, it would seem to me he would just say, save my mother.
Right.
Save my mother.
Right.
Right? Because then that would let him know, wow, this alien has a mom. I mean, but just saying Martha and hoping for him to make the connection just seems kind of, I mean, nobody would say that. Nobody would say, save Martha. If it's your mom and she's being attacked or being held at gunpoint, you're just going to be like, yo, P, yo, call me. Yo, man, go save my mom, man. Help my mom out. You wouldn't tell me your mom's name because, you know, I don't know your mom's name.
Right.
And basically, Superman would have to know that Batman's mom's name is Martha for that to work. But there's nothing in the movie to show you that Superman knows
that.
About Batman. And I don't know, I don't remember, does Superman know Batman's secret identity?
Superman...
Because at the party, I would think that they didn't, because he had to say, who was that?
From this film, no.
Yes.
From the film, no. I mean, in the past, in other media, there is points where Superman uses his, x-ray vision and sees through him, or through the, mask, and actually sees that it's Bruce Wayne. But this one, another thing is he's supposed to be, Clark is supposed to be a reporter, and he doesn't know who's the movers or shakers of the financial world and probably even the political world. I don't know because, Bruce Wayne, I'm sure that he, contributes to certain political parties and probably even both here and there, depending on the year, right? And then you would think any reporter would know, a billionaire like Bruce Wayne.
Right.
So
right.
Who's that?
No, that wasn't good either. And I would say that another con would be, I'm glad you guys are still there. See, we're still on the cons. another con would be also the tone of this movie. This movie was so dark
dour.
And I get that Man of Steel had it, but even Man of Steel had some moments of hope in it.
Yes.
You know, these things that he said, especially even when they were interrogating him and she says S, well, from where I'm from, that means, whatever. And then, and they had that little joke and then at the end, but here, this movie was like, shouldn't Batman be dark and then shouldn't Superman be the complete contrast?
Striving to be in the light, at least.
And so you have stuff like that. And then, of course, the bombing of the senator made no sense.
Oh, that didn't make no sense either. That, to me, they could have taken that out of the scene, in my opinion.
Yeah. I mean, the guy with the legs.
I was thinking, we'll probably go into it more into the fix, but, the guy with the no legs, I can't remember his name, but, I mean, his plot is just there, just for the explosion, I'm guessing, and that's how it ends. And there's no, that thread is not picked up for the climax of the movie, which, we'll talk about that, how to fix that, in a few moments, hopefully, right?
Yes. Yeah. No, let's do that. So we could go more into this. There's even more things that were probably cons or things that took me out of the movie, maybe took you out of the movie. But, let's just talk about, what might be some fixes? What might be some things that we might do to change this? And so I would say, starting with the very front of the movie, I think you don't need the redundant Batman origin scene. Now, some people might say, yeah, but you needed that to establish Martha since you're going to use Martha later on. But even so, you don't need to show that scene. You could just show Batman at a morgue talking to his parents. He's visiting them like he usually does. because, you know, who else is Batman going to talk to, right?
Right, yeah.
He's kind of a loner.
Like every
right?
year, he probably visits his parents, you know, like an anniversary.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. So you didn't necessarily have to show his parents getting killed. So I think that 2 minutes would have been better served if you would have started it with the idea of Joker, right?
Yeah.
Because we see in the movie there is that one scene where Batman's standing next to that the Robin suit.
Yeah,
and it's
right.
got the jokes on jokes you, ha, on ha, ha, ha. So we know Joker exists in this universe based off of that. I'm thinking since Joker is Batman's biggest villain. Right? And Robin obviously is going to be in this deal. Why not start with that? Why not show...
Like the death of Robin, maybe?
Yes, the death of Robin. Yes.
Least,
yes. Yes, and people could say, well, but they didn't have Jared Leto on there. You don't have to. You just have to have somebody in the distance.
Right.
Yeah. And how you know it's Joker is because of the laugh when you hear a crowbar fall to the ground.
Right. And it'd be all blurry. It could be very distant,
yes.
et cetera. Yeah.
Yes, and it's Batman running down this hall, and it seems like the hall never ends. It's kind of making you think like it's a dream sequence in a way, because Batman's running, and the thing is that, hey, I just didn't get there fast enough, and you can see that that's haunting him.
Yes.
See, if you take that plus the fact that his building came crashing down, then that would make sense why Batman is mental in this one.
And it kills people is a little bit rougher than the average version of Batman in different cartoons and all that stuff. Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah. And you could just show a scene where he's talking to his parents at the grave, and you can almost see it, where he's just sitting there, and he's just like, I don't know, Dad. What would you do if you were around now? I mean, we got one guy who's flying and tearing up a whole city, and he's super powerful. And I got another guy who killed somebody really close to me that's basically a clown.
Right. Like a son, basically a son killing his own son. Because
yeah. You just see him having that kind of dialogue. That works better. He's talking to these tombstones, and it shows, you know, his dad and his mm-hmm. mom, Thomas Wayne and Martha Wayne's, you know, on there. And he's just like, I don't know what this world is coming to. I don't know what the answers are. Right, and then boom, you cut, and the movie starts with darkness, but then now you switch and show the light. And just the opposite, to contrast that, is Superman, because remember, they just built this thing for him.
Right.
Right, because this movie's only 18 months since the events of Man of Steel, right?
Right.
So it's fairly new. I mean, you take time to build it after all that.
Right.
So it'd be great to show, to the converse, here are a bunch of people that are praising Superman, because they built a statue after him.
Right.
And he's just doing the whole, well, as long as I'm here...
Yeah,
every criminal will better watch out, but more so for you, the people of Metropolis, I've got your back. Yes. Superman is here, and I'm not going anywhere. I'm your friend. I'm on your side. Right. And you could just show kind of like Lex Luthor sitting off to the side, kind of sneering, kind of going, oh, no.
Right.
He's going to steal my spotlight.
Oh, I see. Right.
You know, and then you could start to see the wheels turning. So right. I think that would be a great fix. You have any thoughts on that opening piece or what you might
like
to see?
I mean, you got good ideas about that, the motivation of Robin getting killed and cutting out the Batman origin scene again. my estimation would be like if it would begin with maybe a little bit of more of the introduction of Justice League,
mm-hmm.
and maybe they're maybe not that long, maybe 30 seconds, 40 seconds of mm-hmm. what they saw during Man of Steel.
Yes,
know? And that's what it would begin again. Maybe like was it three or four characters? So it'll be like maybe 3 minutes, maybe three and a half minutes.
Yeah,
and it wouldn't take that much time for the at least for the beginning of the movie.
Yeah, no, I love that idea. I think that'd be great too. So the movie started to do it. They showed Batman's response to what had happened, but we also understand that these other superheroes existed, especially Wonder Woman, since she's in this film. So it would have been nice if they'd have just shown right then and there, you know, what was Wonder Woman doing when this happened?
Right.
What was John Stewart doing? Since he's a Marine, he'd be watching because they're getting ready to deploy him to go into battle, right?
Right.
So they should show a shot from him and then just show a shot of the Flash. You know, his phone rings and it says Barry Allen. And everybody knows who that is. And
right.
So he answers it and he's like, yeah, I can't believe what I'm seeing on the monitors right now.
Right.
And then with Aquaman, all you got to do is show a trident starting to come out of the water and cut it. Right.
Okay.
And that tells everybody right there, oh, they do exist. They are around. They do see this whole thing. So that might have been great to your point, just like that. Let's talk about, I guess another fix would be the villain. So I think that should have been Bryan Cranston as Lex Luthor.
Right.
And you have him kind of sitting in the shadows watching Superman give this speech, and he's getting jealous that Superman's getting all this attention.
Right.
Even though Lex is like, I'm the one that's putting all the money. LexCorp is the one that's putting all these buildings back up, yet they're you know, they're rooting for this guy.
Right. So that would kind of start his motivation, and also mm-hmm. I'll probably even see him maybe building a suit. Maybe you don't see the suit
yeah.
to maybe the next movie, mm-hmm. But building a suit to take, Superman on, because mm-hmm. knowing that, maybe he's smart and cunning mm-hmm. and more cunning in his mind than Superman, mm-hmm. but he knows that he won't, in a fight to fight, he won't win, so he has to build a suit. And again, mm-hmm. now just building the suit would just be glimpses of it.
Yeah.
And you won't see it until maybe the next movie.
Right.
So he has to find somebody to be his champion.
Yes.
And one thing I've noticed is characters that are, maybe Metallo would yes. be a good idea.
Yes.
And you can add that character that had lost his legs during the Man of Steel movie and mm-hmm. give, a better introduction to a villain that has motivation.
Yes. Yes, so you're right. He would be much better than Doomsday, because you don't need Doomsday really yet. You need to say that. It's almost like that Warner Brothers or DC just decided, let's just throw everything all in one right. movie and try to catch up, when really Marvel did it the best way.
The best way. I
mean, they layered it and had it come out a little bit at a time. And here they just said, screw the layers. Let's just throw it all at you and let you make sense of it, which if you don't set up good motivations,
it just jumbles it up and that doesn't make sense, at least to the average viewer. You have to read more stuff, do homework to understand the motivation and the scenes of certain characters. And that I think for this movie, that just felt unfinished.
Yes, yes, that's exactly right. So to your point with the guy in the wheelchair, which would have been great, because we see that he obviously hates Superman. Because, they're fighting and they do all that damage, and, it was Batman that had to come over there, or Bruce Wayne that had to come and help lift the stuff up off of his legs. So you can see why he hates Superman. So I'd have this great piece where Lex Luthor comes over to Metallo, before he becomes Metallo, because he can see that this guy is the only guy that's heckling Superman or has a problem with Superman, while everybody else is loving Superman's speech and what he's saying about being here for America and being here for Metropolis and all that. And, you can see Lex, Bryan Cranston, just kind of going over to him and saying, hey, listen, I've got a specialized scientific department where I think I can help you with those legs.
Right.
And the guy is kind of like, yeah, right. Who are you, some weirdo, some freak? He goes, hey, you can say what you want to say, but my name's on the buildings and half the buildings down here. My name's Lex Luthor, and I solve problems.
Right.
And he kind of gives him a card, like.
Right. And he's a scientist, too. I mean, because you can add the scientist part of that character, of Lex Luthor's character.
Mm-hmm.
And another thing is about that is it's basically a guinea pig.
Yes.
For the suit.
Yes.
Because it's just like a prototype suit.
Yes.
And he's basically going to, use him like mm-hmm. an animal,
Yes.
And then that can give him, give you, the audience, mm-hmm. A little bit how evil he can be.
Yes.
In his mind, he's doing, the good thing in terms of saving the Metropolis, the world, et cetera, mm-hmm. By any means necessary.
Yes. And it makes sense, because he's only just met Superman himself.
Right.
So Lex doesn't know how he fights. He doesn't know what his strengths or powers are just yet. And so he's like, I need a guy who I can throw out there, and if he gets beat down, oh well.
I'll
just learn from him and learn not to do whatever he did.
Yeah, because like I said, it would be the prototype suit, mm-hmm. and then he really has the second version already almost done, but he still needs, data. He mm-hmm. still needs information to figure out to make it perfect in his mind.
That's exactly right. And so with that ship that he needed the information from and the senator, I guess you could leave some of that in there, but that's where he's going to figure out that, okay, if throughout the movie, the way we're writing it, he's going to build him the legs, he's going to build him the suit, it's the prototype, Superman's going to set him down pretty easily, and then he's going to realize, man, if I had put kryptonite in the suit, would that change things?
There you go.
Because he's starting to read and he's starting to figure out the Kryptonian, data.
Right.
And it shouldn't be like he just gets it all of a sudden. It should be like as the movie's going on.
Right.
Because you got time. Because you got Superman and Batman you need to fight right. each other. So you got to show their problems. So really what's going on is while Superman and Batman are having a conflict over ideologies, Lex is still figuring things out.
Yes.
Piecing little bits of it together, going, oh, it's kryptonite.
Right.
That wears them out, right?
Yes.
And so then he's thinking, okay, let's send Metallo back out again, better suit. This time we'll put kryptonite in and see what happens.
Right.
Right? And so that's really what you need, because you really don't need Wonder Woman in this one really to fight. You're going to see her in her own movie.
Right.
But having her in it enough is kind of like when Hawkeye was in Thor.
Oh, right.
You don't need a really big part. Right. He's just kind of in there.
Right.
So I think that would have been pretty helpful from that. And I think
And then so I'll remove Doomsday out there because Doomsday, I think, would be better for a Justice League movie, in my opinion.
Correct.
At least the first one.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
And then leave the bigger character, like Darkseid, for the second Justice League movie. You know?
That's exactly right. And you don't need to kill Superman in this movie because essentially this is, you know, Superman 2 really is what this is supposed to be.
Supposed to be. And he dies in the second version of this
movie,
Man of Steel, and then Batman v Superman. That just doesn't make sense because then at the end it's all for naught because at the end they kind of allude that he's alive or at least being resurrected again.
Yes.
So it's like, why add that to the movie?
Yeah, because it seems like it's a bad plot point to say, well, Batman's going to start, this because he feels bad because he thought Superman died. Okay, well, then once he finds out Superman's alive, he's going to go, all right, sorry, guys, don't need y'all anymore. The big guy's back, so we don't need y'all. I'm sorry I pulled all you guys out here. I thought the guy was dead. Sorry.
Sorry.
I mean, who knew? I just thought the guy was dead. I mean, you know, I had no idea he was going to come back.
Right.
So go ahead, Aquaman, leave, Flash, y'all can leave again. We need all of y'all hanging out. There's too many of y'all.
Bye, Felicia.
Bye, Felicia, that's exactly right. So I think that if you do that and then you flip it back over to Batman and Superman, what could be interesting is then now the ideologies, right? So in the first of the movie, we showed you darkness when we started off, Batman's world. Then we showed you light, Superman's world, but with a little thread to show you that maybe even Superman's world is about to get nasty.
Right.
So then what you have is you have Batman going out, and he's just taking it out on people.
So
that Alfred part where he says, man, you can't keep doing this. You can't, right?
Right.
That's good. And then what you need is Superman, since he's going to be Clark Kent and he's a reporter, he's reporting about all these findings about this bat vigilante, which they were starting to do.
They were starting to, you're right.
But they should have him go, and that's why he's pursuing him.
Right. He gets that assignment or something.
Yeah. And so this whole idea that you're supposed to be covering the football game or whatever between Gotham and whatever, it's like,
stupid.
I don't know. Why would they have a problem if he, you know. So anyways, it just seemed like they just need to give, you know, what is his name? Perry White something to do,
Perry White.
So, but to me, I'm thinking, no, this is the perfect opportunity. Like, to me, in this movie, Batman and Superman probably should have fought twice, not just once.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah.
But twice. The first time was they're feeling Batman's feeling them out, and the second time, Batman thinks he's got it figured out.
Right.
Right? But the first time, it should be more like Superman comes in because he figures out what Batman's doing.
Right.
Right? Because he figures it out, and because he's able to see, like you said, and he starts.
Maybe detective work
because he's a reporter.
Right.
Which means he should be able to look up facts and find things out.
Right.
And the first time, it's just he shows up to give him a warning. Superman just basically, and I know they tried to do that in the movie when the Batmobile, and he ran into it, then he took off, and they had this one little. But that was nothing. That shouldn't have been it at all. It should have been that Clark's really pissed off. Right. That Batman's taken justice to the level that he's taken it to, and he doesn't see it as justice at all.
Right.
And Batman just being full on, you know, just a warrior, is just like, yeah, then try to stop me then. And then you could see a little bit of a skirmish to where Batman's learning, oh crap, this guy is really much more powerful now. I know he's powerful, but you don't know the power till you feel it.
Right.
And Superman just kind of gives him the great line there, I would think, where he says, look, if I wanted you dead, you'd be dead already.
The
mercy I'm showing you is the same mercy that you need to show the people that you.
Yeah, that would show the light, basically. Yeah.
Yeah.
So that'd be a good light.
And then Batman's just kind of looking at him, right? And then he's like, I shouldn't have to come back here, but if you do this again, I will come back. And then he flies off, right? And then Batman's like pissed now. Because now he's like, okay, that's not going to happen again.
Especially in my city.
Yeah, especially in my city, right?
Right.
And then that would explain why he would do extra, you know, police work to try to figure out what's this big thing about the ship that, you know, Lex Luthor was trying to get there. And he's trying to see if he could find him some, you know, kryptonite too. So I think in the movie, that part was probably okay.
Oh, this part, like I say, we didn't, you know, the majority of it was problems, but there were some good glimpses of a nice movie mixed in with a crappy movie.
Yeah, and I think that if you just and then I think the other part is, you know, leave the moms out of this.
Right.
Why do the moms have to have anything to do with this at all?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know why, other than show them that he's human also, but that doesn't make sense.
No, because that shouldn't matter.
At this point,
it should be, if the movie's set up right, the movie should be Batman believes that, hey, by any means necessary, and Superman believes, wait a minute, you're no different than the bad guys if you're going to do that.
You're going to do that, right.
What's to keep you from turning all the way bad?
Right.
And that would make sense.
And then Batman can have like a little speech in there, or you know, he's tried it the justice way. He's tried it the, you know, 10, 15 years, and then it gives you motivation to why he's turned a little bit, you know, more evil, not evil, I should not use evil, more rougher because of yeah. Robin, Joker and Robin's death.
Yes. Yes.
And then that's why that's the turning point for him, where you know, when he hits villains or criminals, he in his mind he wants to keep them down.
Yes.
Instead of you know putting them in jail and then like you know
then they get
the
back
next
out
morning
again.
They're out, the next two mornings they're out.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that would have been it, and they might have even used that opportunity to flash back. And Batman says, "Look, when you have a friend." Comrade who you feel strongly about, who you raised, brought up along, and this person dies because someone decides to dress up in a white makeup and impersonate a clown.
Yes.
You know, that's sick. And that's what happened. He goes, so what would you do if you were me, huh? Don't tell me you just come in and just throw a couple buildings on top of a couple people. Well, that's not fair. That's not fair, Bruce.
You
know,
right.
Oh, you know who I am. Well, okay then, Clark. You kind of play that game back.
Like, yeah, I know who you are.
Yeah, I know who you are. See, that would be juicy. That would be like what you want, man. Yeah. It's like, you
yeah,
know
they
mean?
Show like on all these Batman movies, mm-hmm. They never actually showed for the most part the detective side of the character, where he's mm-hmm. has clues and is figuring out clues, you know, to either find you know the headquarters of the villain or to find a kidnapped victim. Or they mm-hmm. never actually, at least in the cinematic universe, actually mm-hmm. showed that aspect of Batman.
Yeah,
you know, they just show mostly in the physical version, not the mental.
Yes.
You know, Sherlock Holmes version.
Yes.
So yeah, that's
no.
one weak point of the movies that I've seen in the cartoon and Nolanverse. Mm-hmm. They kind of showed a little bit where he was, yeah. I think, outside yeah. the building, remember, and listening in.
That's right.
But that was just a little, 10-second, 15-second scene. You know, mm-hmm. They really didn't flesh that out.
Mm-hmm.
But that's one of the weak points of all the movies in the Batman world that I want to see it. Hopefully. It probably won't, but hopefully we'll see it in the future.
Yeah, yeah. No, that makes a lot of sense.
And then the way we're writing it, maybe we should add that, right? The detective work with the kryptonite, Clark, he knows his Clark, et cetera.
Yeah, no, totally. Because, I mean, if Clark Kent is a reporter and Batman's this great detective, well, then show that. That's exactly what you want to see, right?
I agree.
It would be a battle of minds, and it would also keep from making Superman look like such an idiot, because that's one of these things I didn't like about the movie as well, is it makes Superman just look dumb.
Yes.
He just seems to can't figure out people, and he can't figure out what's going on.
Right.
That just doesn't make any sense at all.
And I think even in the movie, they make him, I guess he gets crappy stories and crappy assignments because he's always missing. Remember that point where mm-hmm. he says, you know, where's Clark? He's always missing. And like, because he's off doing Superman things. And mm-hmm. you know that. But that as for being a reporter, that doesn't, I think, work in this version because,
right.
you know, they show him a little bit more, you know, actually doing more investigative reporting and more getting mm-hmm. better plum mm-hmm. assignments mm-hmm. instead of Lois doing it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, that's true. And I think that, like, that scene with, again, yes, you have to write that whole scene out with the senator and blowing up the place.
It
was pointless.
It was pointless.
I mean, okay, so she was going to keep you from getting to the Kryptonian technology, but you just take her out with a sniper or something.
Or find something.
You don't need a bomb because it's like you blow her up.
Right.
And Superman's in there and you can't kill Superman with a bomb. Like, if your idea was to try to frame Superman, but Superman doesn't use bombs.
And then the film drops that, I think, right? They kind of made it seem that it's Superman, but they never actually picked that up in terms of, either investigators or even reporters or mm-hmm, anything. Mm-hmm. They kind of, like, let that go, you know, in terms of, you know, they kind of blame him for a second and then kind of, like, forget about it. You know?
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, they did. That was another one of those things. And I think Lois Lane's piece in the film, she just seemed like she was just a pawn here and there. And she didn't seem to really be necessary
in the
film.
The investigative thing she was doing, it just didn't follow through for the climax or anything, really. Her thread just got lost.
Yeah, yeah. So, and then with the moms, you know, like leaving the moms out. This is, again, you don't. And I know we kind of talked about it earlier, but you just don't even need the moms. And the main reason why is because, you know, we've already seen this in Spider-Man movies. It was always like, you know, who are you going to save? You're going to save Aunt May or this school bus of children? It's like, right. We've seen that whole, you can't be in two places at once. What are you going to do, superhero? It's like, we've already seen that.
Right.
To me, the best thing that they could have done is, like we were talking about earlier, just keep it about the ideologies that Batman doesn't mind doing a little bit of pain while he's doing justice, and Superman just like, no, let the justice system work itself out, and this person will be taken care of. Just trust the judicial system to handle it.
Right.
And you could see where two people could easily disagree on that.
And he, I mean, Superman can also bring up the fact that he is an alien, mm-hmm. and then say that, you know, he kind of not has to let, like the justice system, and let humans do their own ways of justice, you know, mm-hmm. kind of staying out of it, you know, mm-hmm. politically mm-hmm. and et cetera.
Mm-hmm. And like with Wonder Woman, I know it's probably going to be unpopular for a few people because they just wanted to see her in the movie. They wanted to see her fight. Well, you're going to get to see her. You're going to get to see her in a full movie. So to me, just her playing that role when she's dressed up and going to that party doing her own detective work, that was cool. I mean, that's exactly what you would expect. And everybody knowing that is, I think, because everybody knowing that was Diana Prince and everybody knows that that's Wonder Woman. I think that's what you need because it then builds all this extra excitement. So that when her movie does come out, you know.
And then it would have been better, yeah. And also expand on it, why she does that. At first, I think they make it, at least in this movie, seem that she had been, you know, not battling for a while, for a decade or two or three, that she'd been retired, quote unquote, for lack of a better term, because she didn't want to get, you know, into man's business or because she was leaving at that point towards the end of the film. And then when the creature showed up, that's when she jumped in, and it made it seem that she had not, you know, gone as Wonder Woman since like World War II, I'm guessing, that she had, you know, just disappeared and became legend.
Mm-hmm.
At least that's what it made it seem. And then, like you said, like just Diana Prince, and that's it. That's all you have to know.
Yeah.
And then,
because it's convoluted otherwise than that. Because you're sitting back going, well, what's your role in this? Why are you following Superman or whoever it was that she was following?
Right.
I forget who she was following, but she was trying to be on the track as well, trying to.
And then she leaves, and then she wants to leave.
Yeah.
That doesn't make sense.
Yeah. And so when they look at each other, and it's like, I thought she was with you. I thought she was with me. Well, what do you mean? How could you think, Batman, that she was with Superman when you and her talked before at the party? So, I don't know. I was looking at that. I was just kind of going, that just seems like it was just conveniently slipped in to try to make something funny in that moment, it could have been. But, again, we just didn't know much about Wonder Woman.
Like, right.
You're going to drop her in and you're going to give her that many scenes. Well, what do we need to know about her? And I don't know that I know much more about her other than just...
She's strong.
So, she's strong, and she jumped in that fight to help him fight Doomsday, and I guess she was the one that cut off his arm or something like
that.
Yeah.
I mean, she held him off for a while because Superman was kind of weak in a way because of battling Batman and with the Kryptonite.
Mm-hmm.
And that's probably why she was in there, because he was kind of weak in a way, but...
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think that at the end, and you mentioned this earlier, so I think that the end of the movie would have been stronger if, I mean, you don't need Superman to die. That's not what you really need to happen. I think what happens is at the end of the movie, we see Metallo going at Superman with that kryptonite in it, and then Batman goes after Lex.
Oh, okay.
Right? So Superman is battling Metallo, and Batman's like, I'm not just going to stand around.
Right.
You know, and he wasn't going to stand there and try to fight Metallo.
Right.
Because Metallo has that, you know, has this extra powers, and his should be a little bit bigger than Batman's.
Well, also, now I'm thinking about that, another motivation that Batman would go after Lex, because you would think that Lex would be smart enough to have a fail-safe switch for the suit.
Mm-hmm.
So he would go after Lex, thinking that he'll lead me to possibly to find the failsafe, you know, turn off switch, quote unquote.
Mm-hmm.
You think you won't create a monster that you can't control.
Mm-hmm.
So if we go into the Metallo, we'll go against Lex Luthor, then Lex Luthor has a kill switch to turn off the suit.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that's the way he would. I think Batman would think.
Yeah, no, that
Lex
good.
Luthor would think, even though you know, he doesn't know it for sure. It's a kill switch, but how would Lex Luthor think? How would anybody creating some advanced technology will have a kill switch, a back door to because it is controlled, quote unquote, by a person inside the suit. Metallo, and you would think that he, you know, be able to switch. So that gives him motivation to go after Lex, Luthor, and Batman, and stop and at least investigate.
Yeah.
That thought pattern.
Yes, yes. Mm-hmm. Because I think that would be good, because then you have this. You have two awesome fights that could happen that you can cut back in between. You can cut back between Superman fighting Metallo, and Metallo's just really angry because that dude just hates Superman because of his legs and everything. And so he's just taking it to Superman. And then Superman's thinking he can get the overhand on him, but he doesn't realize that he's got kryptonite in his suit.
Right.
And so there could be a cool reveal of how Metallo, when he realizes that Superman's getting the best of him, that he pulls out the kryptonite in some kind of way. You probably have this little cool thing, a gadget where his arm just extends and you see or whatever. But there could be some cool reveal you could do in there to show that, while it looks like Superman will have no problem with this guy, boom, all of a sudden, look, check him out. He's got that. And so then you got Batman fighting Lex. You cut back to that. And so it's not basically human to human now.
Right.
But Batman's going to be able to outfight him because Lex is just smart. But then Batman realizes, you know, Lex is like, you know what, you might have knocked me down, but look at the screens. Look at the screen. He's seeing that Superman's getting beaten up because of the kryptonite that's in there. And so Batman has to now come back. You know, he's able to detain Lex Luthor as much as he thinks he has.
Right.
And now he's able to try to come back to that fight and try to stop it.
Stop it.
You know, and I think that would be one of those things that would make it more
plausible
and interesting. And so then that's when he leaves to go try to help Superman. That's when we get the reveal that Lex has a suit.
Oh, okay.
And it has even more kryptonite in it than the one Metallo's wearing. And then now he's about to come.
That makes it more compelling, yeah.
Yeah, it makes it more compelling because now what is Batman going to do then to try to stop him?
Right.
What the saving grace here will be, it will be Alfred. And so Alfred has been watching the whole fight, and he's been like, I think I understand what he's doing. I've got the bat computers locked on to blah, 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 blah.
Right.
And so you've never seen that. You've never seen Alfred have to come in
and help
save both of them. Yeah. Huh. And Lex is not counting on Alfred because he doesn't know anything about Alfred. He just thinks, I got both of them now in the same spot, now the kill shot.
Right.
But yet Alfred comes over like the way Han Solo did for Luke Skywalker.
Oh, Luke Skywalker, there you go.
Yeah, he comes over with gadgets that, you know, Batman had been working on.
Right.
That, you know, he's like, no, these are going to come in handy now.
Yeah,
you
know? Yeah, I like that.
And so it should be one of those things where they kind of escape Batman and Superman by the skin of their chinny chin chin, if you will.
Right. Yeah, I like that. I like that. That's a shooting script, right? We could just start.
Yeah, we need to just put that, get that down, get the actors signed, get out, but I think that, you know, and I think what that does is that does, so for the ending, that ending satisfies, and I know they're like, well, they're going to set up that Justice League. Well, you still got to set up the Justice League because Wonder Woman showed up at the party.
Right.
And you're still trying to figure out who she is.
Even in this version of the theater that came out, they really set up only, like, you know, just three members of the Justice League, and it's not really, they really didn't set it up because Superman dies, and now gives supposedly Batman motivation to find these other superpowered characters and then form a force because, you know, you know, the strongest member of the Justice League is gone, even though there wasn't a Justice League, but the superhero community is gone, even though he's going to resurrect it in the first, like, 10 minutes of Justice League, I'm guessing 15 minutes maybe.
Yeah.
He was just sleeping.
He was
in a coma or something.
Yeah. I mean, why not do it that way? And so, because, I mean, at the end of the day, like, when you have the Justice League together and you bring them together, I know they're thinking, well, we got to have a big threat, but didn't they kill Doomsday? Do I remember correctly?
They killed Doomsday, yes.
Yeah, so if Doomsday's gone, so he's in one movie and out. And remember what happened when Star Wars did that. They brought somebody on, like Darth Maul, killed him, gone, he's out. It's like, what?
Right.
Why did you? That's such a great villain, and Doomsday is like that. He's awesome, and so for him to just go out that easily, two Justice Leaguers could take him out.
It just burned, another villain for the next Justice League movie.
No, I think that's pretty good. Well, I think that pretty much would sum up in our summation, true believers, fans, of what you probably could do to rescue this movie. I mean, the movie, again, itself wasn't nearly as bad as what the critics said. But at the same time, it left so many openings that could have been done so much better.
And it was just jumbled mess for the most part.
Yeah. A hot mess.
Yeah,
that's what it was. Let's just throw everything in there and hope it sticks. And you know, that, I would say that's probably one of the other things too, is that third act was just almost all heavy CGI.
It was just
CGI, CGI, CGI. And by now they got to realize that, you know, these big, powerful third acts that just go berserko with all this disaster porn, it's getting kind of old in superhero movies.
Real quick, yeah.
Yeah, so you're going to have to do some different twists and turns or something to make that kind of pull out a little bit. But I think that's pretty good. So what do you think, audience? We'll turn this to you guys now. You've been listening to this podcast, so why don't you try to comment and let us know. You can go to the Vega Bomber page. I'm on YouTube. I'm also on Twitter. And let me know. And, of course, if you shop it, Keith Comics, then you'll see Juice, and you can tell Juice there when you're coming in the shop, and you can tell him what you think and how that movie should have happened, and what might you have done to change it, fix it, and make sure that the movie could have been much more fluid and certainly a better story in terms of motivation. But, you know, we love movies and we love talking about them, so this is kind of what you kind of have to do to stay on top. So the next movie, I'm toying with a couple of ideas. I thought Apocalypse might be a good one.
Maybe.
Because It kind of missed the mark itself. Yeah. It could be maybe even Independence Day, because I think it's going to miss the mark.
Yeah.
And I know Ghostbusters is coming up, and I'm pretty sure it's going to miss the mark to some degree.
We'll see.
So stay tuned till next time to find out which one we decided to do. Will it be Apocalypse? Will it be Independence Day? Or will it be Ghostbusters? But tune in. Either way, he's the Juice, I'm the Vega Bomber, and we are out.
Laters!
Laters!